Blog Talk Radio.
You know what time this is? MySpace, MySpace.com/DJ1.
I'm serving notice.
Easy.
No. Yeah.
I get the shots you're looking at.
Hey,
I'm first going to build a wall around Newcastle, and then...
No! This is not going to give him the pussy!
Okay. I did not touch your wife. Yes, you did, duh! No, I didn't...
Room DJ!
Oh, my shit! What a week in wrestling! I mean, the AEW, double or nothing, wrestling matches that you wanted... Cody Rhodes using the hammer and broke up the chair. I'm like, bomba class. Goldust versus Cody Rhodes. What a story that I tell. And then Raw and SmackDown. Brock turned the shit into a boombox. Right? Rocking tunes, rocking Swiss beats on that shit. Right? Stephanie McMahon's not happy. The Authority is not happy. Mike Knox is not happy. Okay, wrestling fans in general are not happy with Raw and SmackDowns. R-Truth running around with that 24/7 title. He lost the shit, brought it back thanks to a one Roman Reigns, double R. And then Dean Ambrose. His name's not Dean Ambrose anymore. His name's John Moxley. His proper wrestling name. Made a storm, blew up the internet. And then went on Jericho podcast and he big up the WWE only to destroy them. And then NXT takeover, the 25th one. Are they going to respond to the AEW double or nothing? Triple H responds, or does he? Welcome to Jams Podcast. Hashtag, we can edit that out. I ain't editing shit out. My name is Grant Body P of Worldwide DJ Coalition. You know what I mean? We're covering NXT TakeOver predictions, the 25th one. So it's only right that we have Mr. NXT on board himself. Mr. 100, Mr. 1000, Mr. 10,000, Mr. 100,000, Mr. 1 million, Mr. 1 billion, Mr. 1 trillion. What up? What up?
That is right. The Great One is here because the millions...
And millions!
...of the Mr. NXT fans have demanded an answer. Was AEW any good? Will NXT 25 be awesome? That is why I am here. And look, where is the Shad Brother? He cannot be seen. Mr. Shad Cena himself is not here yet again. Because he is scared to face Wardle. Because he knows he's still got beef from that WrestleMania weekend.
Oh, shit. Oh, Shad.
How is things with you, Mr. P?
Hectic, man. Hectic, man. Yo. You gotta remind me, if you put on back me WWE Network, me just get paid, and we want to see the NXT takeover, because it's a 25th one, and I'm sure that Triple H has got something huge planned for that shit. You know what I mean? Yo, that is anticipated more than ever now. I mean, it was anticipated before, but after what Cody Rhodes did, Triple H, we're expecting an answer from you, boy. That's all we have to say about that. Word up, man, but man. We have to start from the beginning, Water, and go to the end. Before we do that, though, you can follow us on all of social media at Jams Podcast. That's what you have to do. Shout out to Serial Killer. Shout out to Sensational Draw, wherever she's in the world. Shout out to The Altered Angle. Shout out to Max Wrestling. Shout outs to Smart to Death Podcast, Smack Talk Center, TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. BDSIR Network, Massive Recruit, Mike Knox, King Vaughn, and Warren Up. You know what I mean? WWE Ramsey, I see you. You know what I mean? All the wrestling crew out there. The Solo Monster as well. Wardle, let's start from the beginning and let's go to the end. AEW Double or Nothing. I didn't watch it.
But I heard what did happen, and from what everyone's saying, it's been all about Dustin Rhodes versus Cody Rhodes. It's all about that, and then Brandi Rhodes used the hammer, give Cody, and Cody sent for Triple H's chair and broke it up. Wardle, you watched it. Let me know how it really went down.
I thought AEW, as I've said in the chat, it was all right. But that's all. I would give it a 5, maybe a 6 out of 10 at best.
Whoa!
I'm not trying to be cool, but I try to shit on it. It just wasn't all that, in my opinion. In my humble opinion, it wasn't all that. And I can tell you why. And I'll tell you why.
Break it down, man, because you know what I mean? Break it down.
The best matches on the card were, unsurprisingly, the ones that had the owners in the match. So the Young Bucks versus the Lucha Bros. That was all right. Too many flips for my liking.
Yeah, I heard that was a flip fest.
It was a flip fest, fake finish fest. It was a classic Young Bucks match.
Okay.
People say they're the best in the world. I don't believe so. I think they're... I would put at least 3 or 4 teams above them, in my humble opinion.
Okay.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
They should have lost the titles. They didn't. But, again, that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
Kenny Omega vs. Jericho. It wasn't as good as Wrestle Kingdom.
Right.
Jericho wins with his Judas finisher, his new finisher.
Okay.
Which is basically just an elbow. Just an elbow to the face. That's his finisher now.
Oh,
now,
why?
People took the piss out of John Cena when he debuted his fifth move of doom, or whatever he called it.
Yeah.
Where it was just a punch, where he did some sort of a Street Fighter shit to charge it beforehand.
Wait a minute, Kenny Omega's super move's called the V-Trigger. That's some Street Fighter V shit.
Yeah. but no one's dissing Jericho for his he's just an elbow to the face.
Flipping out. I mean, here's the thing. John Cena's super move, right? The fifth, sixth move of doom, right? John Cena basically is taking a piss out of... Not only is he taking a piss out of himself, he's trolling the fans. He knows that at this point in his career, he's not taking things seriously because he knows he's moving on to bigger things, right? Whereas Jericho, his heart is still... Not saying John Cena's heart's not still in the wrestling shit, but Jericho, he's like really hands-on with this AEW shit. You know what I mean? And you're telling me that his super move is just an elbow to the face?
Basically.
Oh, what did it cross?
So, I mean, that was all right.
Okay.
The best match of the night was the Rhodes Brothers match.
Yeah.
But technically speaking, it wasn't that great.
What? I heard the storytelling smashed it on this one.
It was storytelling. It was all about the storytelling. The storytelling was fantastic.
Yeah.
But the actual match quality was pretty low, if I'm honest. It was pretty low. It wasn't really about going on. Not really.
I heard Dustin Rhodes, he put in the performance of his life.
Oh, yeah. To be fair, Dustin was shit hot. But again, it was only a few moves. It wasn't the whole match. You know, it was just a couple of moves here and there, and you were like, oh, shit. Okay, fair enough. But it wasn't like from anything spectacular. I mean, Double or Nothing as a whole was all right.
Yeah.
It was all right. But the fans need to get off their dicks a little bit. Because you watch it the second time, not as good. You watch it the third time, and you go, it is what it is. But the main sort of point, the false prophet, the false wrestling god that people are bigging him up to be, Dean Ambrose, but I'm not going to call him Jon Moxley.
Uh-oh!
I'm not calling him that. Not 6 months ago, nobody in the world gave a shit about Dean Ambrose. Nobody. He is the weakest member of the Shield.
Whoa!
Record. Call me on record. He is the weakest on promo.
What? Whoa, stop! Just stop right there! He's the weakest on promos!
In the Shield!
Out of the three of them! Hold on!
And I will cite Roman Reigns' best promo
promo, and that was post-Mania, where he says, "It's my yard now."
Oh, man. I dropped the mic.
I'm sorry, Dean Ambrose, I will not call him John Moxley. I watched the John Moxley character way back when.
Yes.
And he is nothing special, people. You all need to get off his dick.
Whoa!
He isn't. I'm sorry, he's not. He is weak on promos.
What?
He is mediocre in the ring. Like, I'm sorry, he just is. He's just. I'm just telling the truth.
Oh, damn!
Just telling the truth.
See now, you know what I mean? Like when you know when everyone was booing down Double R and everything, you know, because of his promos and he dropped the suffrage sucker tash or whatever that was, if you remember, right?
Yeah.
And all that stuff. You know what I mean? People were like, nah man, Roman Reigns, he can't talk, man. He can't chat on the mic. He needs Paul Heyman. He needs to turn heel and join Paul Heyman. All that sort of shit. You know what I mean? Beat Brock Lesnar and then turn heel after that. Beat him and become Paul Heyman's dude. And you know what I mean? And then. I think of some of the promos that Dean's done. I remember a particular one that Dean did, and Seth Rollins turned on the Shield for the first time. Dean and Roman was in the ring, and Dean was talking about all these crazy things he's going to do to Seth Rollins when he catches him. I was like, oh, shit! That sounds kind of John Moxley-ish.
Hey, I just... Right. I'm going to give you... Because I back everything up.
Yeah.
With facts. I will always bring you facts. I want you to think back to the very first Nitro.
The very first Nitro? Oh my god, are you referring to the whole Lex Luger situation when he comes
yeah.
in next day? Yeah, right.
Yeah, so, you think back, AEW is saying, shots fired, we've got Dean Ambrose, shots fired.
Yeah.
We did the thing with the chair, Triple H's chair, and all, yeah, whatever. That,
yeah.
Triple H is probably pissed himself because you've just given some free advertising, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, probably laughing. But Lex Luger walked out, everyone was like, oh shit, this is it. This is the big one, WCW are legit. But not a year later, Lex Luger was nowhere to be seen on the main roster. Like, he was popping up here and there in the NWO and shit, but he was nothing. Dean Ambrose is going to be the Lex Luger of AEW.
Whoa!
Because all they'll find someone bigger and better. And Dean Ambrose will just disappear down the card. He'll be feuding with Jimmy Havoc, doing his old deathmatch shit. Because that's what John Moxley is. He just did deathmatches. That's all he did. That's all he became famous for, was deathmatches and all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But people don't want it. As I put to you in the chat, and I put it on Facebook, and I put it on my Twitter, and people agreed with me right before Double or Nothing. You think this is what you want. And then the reality hits that it's not what you want at all. And that's what AEW is. You think you want pure wrestling. You think that you want no bullshit messing, you know, promos and shit. You just want the wrestling. Not what you want. Not what people want at all. And it will not work because of that.
Ooh.
And I'm just telling you now.
Oh, man. You shot me, Wardle, because, you know, I mean, this sort of thing I thought would be clearly up your alley. You know what I mean?
All In was a much better show than Double or Nothing.
Whoa! Oh my shit!
Much better. I'm sorry, it was. It was much better. It was a better show. It was groundbreaking.
Yeah.
And it needed to happen.
Yeah.
Double or Nothing, for me, fell short of all the hype by quite a considerable margin.
Wow!
The Lucha Bros worked their asses off against the Young Bucks.
Mm.
I'm gonna say it, they carried the Young Bucks in that match.
Wow!
Right. Now, if you look back at it, and I applaud anybody who's listening to prove me wrong on that, but if you rewatch that match, the Young Bucks looked like shit in that match, whether it's deliberate or not, but they didn't look that great. If I'm honest, their timings were off and it was a bit clunky, and you know what I mean? It just didn't work for me. The Lucha Bros looked fantastic. They were on it. Pentagon, Rey Fénix, perfect. Love them.
Wow. This is a revelation of sorts, man. I mean, I said this to Serial Killer. I might have said it to you at some point, but I know I definitely said it to Shad as well. I said that, you know what I mean? I've always thought that Double or Nothing will always be good, right?
Yeah.
But I know that fans will put it up on this pedestal, you know what I mean, and say how it's 10 times better than what it really is because it's an alternative. And fans have been generally sick of WWE and their antics for years. What they consider to be a true alternative has come out now, you know what I mean? I think I heard it from you, I've heard it from some other people as well, that it does have that WCW type feel to it as well.
It does. Everything they did, like post-match replays where it showed you, like, you know, slow motion stuff and all of that, it's very WCW. Everything about it felt like WCW.
Wow.
But it had a decent buy rate. It had a decent buy rate for a first show. It was a decent buy rate because Double or Nothing isn't. Well, sorry, All In wasn't All Elite Wrestling, so we can't really include that. So this is the first show of All Elite Wrestling.
Right. Yeah.
And it was all right. If I was ITV with a TV deal, I'd be a little worried.
Uh oh.
It wasn't. The hype didn't reflect what was presented, in my opinion.
Wow.
It was a good, solid show. If the promotion had been around 5-10 years, you'd go, it was all right. It's like, I don't know, Elimination Chamber for WWE. It's a good, solid show every year, but it's never really amazing, is it? It's always just a good, solid show.
It's a solid show, and it just sets up for the WrestleMania in most cases.
And for me, that's what Double or Nothing did. It's just sort of, it was good.
Right.
It was all right. But, you know, yeah, again, the next show is going to be Fight for the Fallen, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's the owners of the company facing each other. So you've got the Rhodes versus the Young Bucks. You're going to have Jericho versus Hangman Page. So again, it's just the owners who are writing creative facing each other. Which is what WCW happened in 2000 onwards. Well, 99 onwards. It was Nash and Hall and Hogan putting themselves over everyone else. And that's what's happening. Young Bucks versus Rhodes is the main event.
Wow. Holy smokes.
So when I say it's WCW, I don't mean it in a way that, hold on, this is competition. I mean it is, this is the back end of WCW we're looking at already.
Oh my God.
Where is, I'm worried. Like, I'm just saying it. Like, I think probably not the next one, not Fight for the Fallen, but the whatever show becomes after that.
They got All Out planned, I think, like end of August.
Yeah. I think fans will start realising it's not all that. Because you've got, you know, everyone's sucking the dick going, oh, it's amazing, it's the new thing, it's new WCW, it's going to be amazing, it's going to rival WWE. It's not going to rival WWE, people. It will never, ever, ever be competition for WWE.
Then how about this? So I've seen some people, shout out to the people out there on thechairshop.com, always use your head, I've seen you guys, and you're talking about, okay, so it may not rival WWE, but what about the NXT?
I'm sorry, NXT is a different beast. NXT is, and it's really bad because I am Mr. NXT.
Yeah.
I can't explain why it's so good. It just is, there's something really special about NXT, and I can't explain why it's so good.
Well,
it's just special, and I can't explain why. It is. A unicorn of the wrestling world.
The unicorn.
It's mythical. It's epic. Whenever a takeover comes up, you know it's going to be good.
Well,
every takeover is always better than the last, and it's always on this level now. It's like God of War, Kratos.
You know what I mean?
Of epicness. And I can't explain why.
Triple H. Yeah, I mean, Triple H has got his own Kratos beard on and shit, man. When we realise it on... By now, surely Triple H must know who Kratos is now. Surely. Even if he's not a gamer. You know what I mean? I'm sure Xavier Woods pulled him up one side and said, yo, now this is the guy that they're talking about. You know, that's who you look like. And Triple H is like, wow, really? Okay. And I'm very surprised he hasn't even done that for a WrestleMania entrance. Hey, but the Super Showdown.
Yeah. The last thing I'm going to say about it was... About AEW was, I didn't get that takeover buzz.
Right.
The way I can describe it. Because I would say, because me going into it, I was thinking, if it gives me the same feeling as watching a takeover, then it's something special. And it just didn't. And I'm disappointed because I was backing it because I really want WWE to up the game a bit.
I think they should anyway.
I don't see them as competition at all. I just can't see it.
Honestly, on a real, I mean, bear in mind I haven't watched the Double or Nothing, nor do I intend on watching it unless I stumble across a YouTube video of, say, Cody Rhodes versus Dustin Rhodes and all that stuff. You know what I mean? I can't see myself watching the Double or Nothing anytime soon. And Mike Knox hit it on the head as well. Mike Knox is basically saying, big ups to that dude, practically saying what you said. He says it was good, but your fans are like, yeah, it's a best game, yeah, WWE's in trouble, yeah. And Mike Knox is like, kill that noise, man. Stop.
Yeah.
Just stop.
I don't want to shit on it. I want them to work.
Yeah, of course.
You've got such an amazing talent pool. Apart from Dean Ambrose, you've got an amazing talent pool. I'm going to call him Dean Luger. Apart from Dean,
no!
I'm sorry, he's shit. I'm sorry, he's not very good.
So
people really need to stop picking him up. He's really not very good. But they've got an amazing talent pool. They've got all the potential in the world.
Mm.
But it's not NXT. It's not WWE.
Do you think it's because NXT's got that authentic feel? Like, you know me, I love to always compare wrestling to hip-hop in some way or another. Next week, right, I'm going to London to see Smith & Wesson live, and it's going to be in an intimate, keyword, intimate venue in the Jazz Cafe, London,
yeah.
Right? And then you have something like, say, Jay-Z, or Ariana Grande, who, you know what I mean, they're performing in big out arenas full of people. Now, from what I understand, Double or Nothing, AEW, whatever you want to call it, WCW, was in the MGM Arena, so it was like, better people up in there. Whereas NXT now, there's people in there, but like when it comes to the lighting's focused on the star side, so you don't really see the fans too tough. You pretty much see like the first few rows of the audience.
That was a big problem with the Blown Off thing. There was a lot of technical problems, like the timings with music and the lights, and there was a lot of waiting around for video promos to be played and stuff like that. There was, you know, technical, but it's the first show, so you know, fair enough.
Yeah, so of course, they can always iron that out and get better and better and better and better. Because Mike Knox said the same thing, make the shit grow, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't put it up on this pedestal like, whoa, it's a big thing. Let the shit grow.
For me, if I was them, I wouldn't have done it in an arena, well, in a venue like they were in. I'd have done it in like, literally like a 3,000, 4,000 seater. I'd have gone really small venue.
Mm.
And give it that sort of
authentic, intimate feel. Yeah,
it just, like I said, it was good.
I guess
it was good, but it wasn't anything spectacular.
Okay.
And for a first show of a brand, that's kind of worrying.
I give them props because they did sell it off. You know what I mean? They did sell it off. So props to them for that.
The ultimate problem is, it's the classic what fans want versus what they really want. All we got from AEW matches, tons of flips, tons of fake finishes.
Yeah,
the Rhodes match was the exception to the rule. But even within that match, Dustin hit Cody like two or three times. Well, no, three times, sorry, with a crossroads. He hit him with a destroyer and stuff like that. But they were all false finishes.
Right.
And there's only so many matches on one pay-per-view you can watch that have that many false finishes. Well, the Young Bucks match must have had at least 12. And you think I'm joking, I'm not.
They're like kings of the super kicks, right? They do like 20 super kicks and shit, yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And there's only so many times you can watch that on the card. And all the matches felt very similar and nothing really stood out, and it was just good,
right?
And that's the only way I can describe it. It was just good.
Room for improvement, man. Room for improvement. So
needs to improve.
So yeah, man. Room for improvement. And to me, that's only a good thing, man. So keep doing what you're doing, AEW. You know what I mean. And we've got to switch gears. You know what I mean? Because like we've spent more time than we thought we would.
Just don't base your roster around Dean Luger. Don't do it.
Dean Luger. Let's speak on him real quick. Have you heard the Moss Hit interview on the Jericho podcast?
Oh, yeah, he's just a fucking idiot.
Oh, shit! You're going to get handborn and quartered, man. I thought he was respectful.
He ripped into, like, the creative and the story writers and stuff like that. But you can see his arrogance in the interview. He thinks he is better than their creative team. Now, that's all well and good, but where he came from was backyard wrestling.
Right.
So, yeah, sure, you cut your deathmatch-style promos, and then, you know, people loved it, but you're on a PG-rated show. He thought he was too good for WWE. He was the wrong mentality for WWE. That's why they never really used him much, and that's why, you know, he had a title runs and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, he did that awful stuff with Jericho and things like that. But that was because that's PG stuff. And that's the problem that people are forgetting, going back to AEW, that WWE is PG. It's aimed at young teens.
Yeah.
And that sort of age group, because that's where the money is.
So, question. Do you think Dean Ambrose, WWE Dean Ambrose, that is, do you think he was in the wrong era then, in that sense of the word? Because, you know what I mean, when you go back in, like, in the 2000s, like the Ruthless Aggression, I felt like Dean Ambrose belonged in the Ruthless Aggression era. There was matches in that era that I was like, oh my God, there was crazy bloodshed. There was matches like, for example, JBL versus John Cena, JBL versus Eddie Guerrero, Ric Flair versus Mick Foley, them kind of matches, right? Then it got really violent back in like the mid 2000s and that.
I would say, because I hate doing that. I hate when people say, oh, there should have been an Attitude Era or whatever. But like, if he went against your Cactus Jacks and your Terry Funks and all of that sort of stuff,
yeah,
I think hell yeah, it would have been good shit. Like, he came from the wrong background to go into PGTV.
Okay.
That's as simple as I can put it. Like, because he's not an amazing in-ring performer. That's why he did backyard deathmatch wrestling. Because you can hide a lot of the problems with a performer by doing hardcore matches.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. So you become more of a stuntman.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what he is. So it surprises me the response he got at Double or Nothing, if I'm honest.
I think he got that kind of response because, you know what I mean, he was like the minus Jericho, you know what I mean? Jericho doesn't really count in the grand scheme of things, but I think he was like the first guy to, like, quote, jump ship, unquote. And so fans were like, oh, look, he come from WWE, oh, he's in AEW, oh, it's a war now, oh, here we go.
I tell you what, and this is me being completely truthful, I will take notice of AEW as a legit contender when they sign somebody legit. If they sign Shinsuke Nakamura, if they sign Kazuchika Okada, if they sign Adam Cole, as an example.
Yeah.
They sign somebody like that.
Yeah.
I absolutely give them all the props in the world.
Well,
as it stands now, I just can't see them being any competition.
Wow, fantastic, man, fantastic. Why?
Just my humble opinion.
Just your humble opinion. I still give, personally, Dean Ambrose props for appearing on Jericho, and it was like he cut a promo on the WWE, you know what I mean? Because I heard that's like the art of a promo. You big them up first before you tear them down.
He said what a lot of wrestlers say. And we know the writing staff are bad. But
yeah.
The reason why it doesn't work is because people forget what they're on.
Yeah,
they are not on Ring of Honor TV. They are not on New Japan TV. they are on a PG-rated television show.
With that said, though, right, with that said, the writers were wanting Dean Ambrose to run down Roman Reigns about his leukemia and stuff, and my man's like, nah, that can't work, man, that can't work.
If that order has come from Vincent Kennedy McMahon, he would have consulted with Roman Reigns first, and Roman Reigns would have okayed it. So, I would have just done it. That's just me, because the writer's staff, everything runs, because Ambrose said it, sorry, Luger said it, everything runs through BKM.
Yeah.
Everything. So if he said, do it, then it's been okayed.
Yeah, it's like, perfect example is Paul Bearer. You know me, people, you know, you know me, yeah, you know me, Undertaker fan, you know what I mean? I always refer things back to the Undertaker, right? And, you know, Paul Bearer died, and then suddenly you see Paul Heyman and CM Punk taking a piss out of Paul Bearer.
That, for me, was absolute perfect storytelling.
Yeah.
It was perfect, and that's why I was stunned when Punk didn't beat the streak, because I thought, this is it, this is the moment, I'm stunned, but it was amazing.
Yeah, you were stunned, I was super glad, I mean, out of all the streak matches, right, that one, for me, even more rewarding than Triple H Undertaker, my dream match in a Hell in a Cell, because it was that frightening thought of CM Punk breaking the streak, and then I would not have heard the end of it from the CM Punk fans, you know what I mean? Particularly Smack Talk Center's boss man, Jamie Maverick Shields, he would have roasted me. He'd still be roasting me now, you know what I mean? Because, and up to this present day, people still think CM Punk should have broke the streak, and I'm like, consider this, the man walked out. The man walked out on the WWE, walked out on wrestling, turned his back on wrestling, the whole shebang, and that's the guy you want breaking the streak. Thank God it wasn't him. I'd rather be Brock Lesnar all day, you know what I mean? But we can't really digress too much, you know what I mean? God, boy, we still got NXT TakeOver to talk about. Real quick, MVP of the week, MVP of the week. MVP of the week, go.
Brock Lesnar. I do not want to hear anybody criticising Brock Lesnar anymore, because I'm sick to death of it. Brock can be part-time, but Brock is must-see. This is what I've said before. You can find the clip. If you go
back,
I've said it always before. This is why Brock Lesnar is the highest paid in the company. That's why Vince will give him any schedule he wants. It's because Brock Lesnar is the most must-see talent in the world. It is an absolute fact, and he proved it on Monday Night Raw.
Oh my God, the man had me in tears. The man had me in tears, Wardle. You know what
He's
I mean?
He's a 350-pound man. He is a former NCAA champion. He is a former UFC world champion. And he stood in that ring, and he is the Brock Party himself. And it killed me.
I was in absolute tears, Wardle. I was nearly on the floor, you know what I mean? And then Paul Heyman, he got in there with the guitar.
A man that can pull that off, as well as being the most dominant force in wrestling, it's just spectacular.
The running dancers are like, oh my shit. Oh, God.
I can't wait for him to beat Kofi. I can't wait.
You know what? I'm happy Kofi has won the title at WrestleMania and held the title as long as he has. I'm grateful for that now. You know what I mean? If Brock was to go ahead and cash in on Kofi and beat him, I'd be like, well, you know what? I had my WrestleMania moment. In fact, I've had three WrestleMania moments of my own. Undertaker beat Triple H. In fact, no, four. He beat Triple H. He beat CM Punk, right? Naomi won title at WrestleMania. And Kofi Kingston won title at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Those two, Naomi and Kofi, were like bonuses for me. They were bonuses.
Because you know what's going to happen at the Saudi Arabia show, don't you? Like, you know exactly what's going to happen. Like, I'm not the only one that knows this, right?
Yeah.
He's going to cash in on Kofi, and then he's going to beat Seth Rollins at the next event.
Uh-oh!
You can see it. You can see what's going to happen.
Brocky two belts! Brocky two belts!
Because it's Vince. It's Vince. The Saudis are going to pay for a big moment, and that's what they're going to get is Brock Lesnar, because they love Brock Lesnar. They adore him. So you know what's going to happen.
Oh my shit. Oh my god. Wrestling fans, brace yourselves, man.
Brace yourselves. You're going to be crying.
Brace yourselves, man. Word up, man, because boy. Oh man, a part of me wishes I could be around to watch the Super Showdown and Ting Man, but why, you know what I mean? As I say, I'll be in London next week and, you know what I mean, it ain't gonna happen for me like that, so, oh shit, that's gonna be some funny shit, man, you know what I mean? Like I say, I'm glad for Kofi, man, you know what I mean, but Brock...
Oh, the reason why Brock was my MVP of the week is because of the last time, when he didn't know he could cash in within a year.
Holy smokes, I can't even think, you know.
Oh, Point proven. Think of a match that Dean Ambrose did that didn't involve the Shield members that was a good match.
I was going to say Dean Ambrose versus Seth Rollins, Hell in a Cell, and then I remembered Seth Rollins.
There isn't, because he is no good without the Shield. The Shield carried him so hard that without them, that's why you had that terrible Jericho match. You were against Jericho, one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world, the best that's ever laced their boots. And you still couldn't pull off a decent match. I'm just proving a point. I want a listener, just one, tweet me at the man called Wardle with a match that Dean Ambrose was in that didn't involve any of the Shield members that was any good.
Right. There's your challenge, people. You know what I mean? WWE now, you know. Don't bring up his CZW shit. Don't do that.
Just involving the Shield. Without the Shield, sorry, in WWE, any time in his 4 or 5 year run, whatever he was in there for, name me a match that didn't involve the Shield that was any good. There isn't one. I'm sorry, there isn't.
I can't think of one myself, you know. Oh, shit, damn!
Every match I think of, like the Evolution series, well, that was the Shield versus the Evolution series, the guys, you had Rollins versus Ambrose, you had Ambrose and Reigns, tag teams and all that stuff. There isn't one that didn't involve them.
Oh, no! Oh, Dean, you getting a nod for Biatch of the Week. I never thought I'd see that coming, you know what I mean? People should say, oh, well, you should have Dean Ambrose as MVP of the Week. John Moxley should be MVP of the Week because he does an interview with Jericho and he calls the WWE. Well, I was thinking about it, to be honest, but Brock's running dance got me. I'm sorry. Brock's running dance got me, good and proper, and he slapped Heyman around with the contract. That shit was funny as fuck, and I'm sure when he's done a running dance, I'm convinced Seth Rollins and Kofi Kingston had to hold the laughter in, and they couldn't do it.
They couldn't do it.
And Seth Rollins was supposed to be vexed. That's what killed it. My bitch of the week, what up, is you, Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre. I'm going to keep it storyline based. Right, you two get bitch of the week. Why? Now, you watch SmackDown, Wardle. Right, now, you mean to tell me that after the match, Elias was there on the canvas looking at lights, right? You had Roman Reigns there, you had a broken R-Truth there, right? And R-Truth went and pinned Elias, right? 1, 2, 3, and take back his 24/7 belt. And all that time, Shane McMahon and Drew McIntyre was up there, and they didn't lift one finger. They just stood there and watched like bitches.
Yeah.
In that time, they could have run back down to the ring and rushed Roman Reigns. It's not hard.
Bitches.
Bitch! You know what I mean? And I was glad to call Drew McIntyre, but shame it, man. I'm sure Joanne Chapman, Sensational Joe's happy that I called him a bitch of the week this week. You know what I mean? They stood up there. There's two of them. There's one of Roman Reigns. I know he's a big dog, but they've rushed him before and beat him up. What's stopping them now? Come on, Drew McIntyre. You're supposed to be this Scottish Terminator or Scottish Predator or Scottish Psychopath or whatever you're supposed to be called, and your super K-more kick, you mean to tell me you couldn't run down to the ring that quick? Bitch!
Bitch.
Now, this is what we're going to do. NXT TakeOver 25! 25 of these pay-per-views, and every last one of them is done! And I'm sure they're going to raise the bar again. You know what I mean? And because this is NXT TakeOver, you know what I mean? I'm going to let Wardle take over, literally. Do you have the match card there?
I do indeed.
Right, you've got the match card.
Tattooed on me.
Tattooed upon you. Very good. You know what I mean? Yo, let the people know, man, what the matches are running and everything. Give me your analysis and all that stuff. And then I'll give you who I think's going to win the matches and things. So here we go.
We shall start where all good stories begin, and that is the women's match, because we all love the women.
It's about time. I mean, we've talked too much about Dino. Let's talk about the finer things in life, you know what I mean?
And we are going to start
with the NXT Women's Championship match. You have got Io Shirai, or whatever you pronounce her stupid ass Japanese name, versus the Four Horse Woman, the Queen of Spades, my champion forever and ever, Shayna Baszler, for the title. Oh, you had the awesome match in the Fatal 4-Way match in New York, which is where this stems from. And then we've got Miriam Schaefer and Jessamyn Duke, who took out Kairi Sane and wrote her off TV. And then now you've got Io, who wants to get revenge for her fallen partner.
Right.
And she's going to take the strap, or so she thinks, from Shayna Baszler. NXT 25. The way I put it, Shayna ain't dropping shit. She is the Queen of Spades. She is my champion forever. And that's me. I'm just going to say that Io Shirai has a chance.
Oh man.
Because there's always four women knocking about. They're always there.
Oh man, right. As much as I'd like to back Io Shirai on this one, you know what I mean? I don't know, man, you know what I mean? It's all good jumping on top ropes and flips and flips and flips. But if Shayna Baszler catch your Io, girl, it's gonna be curtains for you. I'm backing you, Io, but you know what?
It's a grand body key booking.
I'm gonna keep it a grand body. I've been doing this for years. Shayna, I think Shayna gotta put it off, man. Man, you know what? It's one of them ones where if Shayna gets called up to main roster, it's gotta be one of them ones where
she's in between
the NXT and the main roster at the same time. It's gotta be one of them ones, you know what I mean? So it's gonna be one of them blurred line ones. And that's what I could see right there. Shayna Baszler, you're gonna hold it down. Io Shirai, if you win, I'll be so happy for you. That's how it's going.
Cool. I think we'll start next with what could be a perfect undisputed run for the undisputed era at this pay-per-view, and that is the boy Roderick Strong. Mr. Strong Boy versus my boy Matt Riddle, the King of Bros. Just a singles match.
Matt Riddle, he's the guy who's the king of walking barefoot.
He's the barefoot beast.
I don't understand that guy, man. I mean, he obviously is not the first guy to do it, or nor is he the last man, but
just to present a bit of background.
Yeah.
The Undisputed Era have been a bit rocky recently.
Yeah, I did see a bit of that, yeah.
And Cole and Roderick Strong have been at each other a bit, and there's a bit of a power play within the group. But then Adam Cole's been having a bit of beef with Matt Riddle. We thought, this is on the cards. But then, you know, Strong being a good footman in the Undisputed Era took out Matt Riddle, and that's where we're at with this match. So it's a grudge match.
Ooh,
Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong.
Right.
This could go either way. This is one of them ones that could go either way. I'm going to say, for the purpose of how I think 25 is going to go down, I'm going to say Roderick Strong wins this one. I'm going to say he beats Matt Riddle clean.
Roderick, mind you, don't step on his foot now, you know. Don't step on his toe now. That's my Riddle's had. He's got, you know what I mean? Because, like, you had guys like Yokozuna before, and more recently, Alexander Rusev, who used to wrestle in their barefoot until they had an injury. But Matt Riddle, he's not that big dude like that, man. He's more slender and shit, man. I am worried for him,
MMA,
man.
He's MMA, isn't he? So.
Because
of his MMA UFC background.
Yeah.
I think he'll be alright. I'm just
scared, man. I might read a dog, broke your foot, you know, don't do it.
them ones. For that reason, I think Roderick Strong's going to win because, again, as you say, there's this rocky thing going on with the Undisputed Era, and you think that because of that, Roderick going to lose, or at least one of them going to. Matter of fact, we'll keep that rocky thing going. Roderick Strong, you're going to win.
I like it. Yep. I'm just going to say, for those who are going to be watching it, like the TakeOver 25, don't sleep on this match. Don't sleep on it.
I'll be watching. I'm going to update.
Match of the night.
I'm going to update my shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to get my WWE Network back, man. Word up, man. You know what I mean? I have to pay those bills. You get me, so.
It could well be match of the night. That's all I'm saying. Beyond match of the night. Let's talk about match of the year candidate.
Oh, yes. I think I know where I'll go with this. Go for it.
Yeah, I don't think you do.
I think I do.
The champion, the Velveteen Dream.
Yes.
Versus Tyler Breeze.
No.
For the NXT North American Championship.
Velveteen Dream all the way. I like Tyler Breeze. I'm biased. Velveteen Dream, you've won this match. That's it.
Oh, cold.
I mean, I'm not Tyler Breeze. He's come back. He's got. He feels like he's got something to prove, and he's got to go in. There's no doubt about it. He's going to show that, you know what I mean, that he was wasted on the main roster and all them thing there. But Velveteen Dream will show him and say, look, you've been gone too long. Me run things, no. You know what I mean? I'm the one who loves myself. It's a battle of who loves himself more, and Velveteen Dream loves himself. Velveteen Dream's won.
We've got just a shocking development for this podcast. The greatest prediction run in history. He is still 100% right. The boy they call, because he's not a baby anymore, the boy they call AJ, has joined us.
Is he AJ the toddler now?
Is AJ the toddler?
Oh, no!
Toddler.
How old is he now? Two? Three?
He's going to be three in July.
Wow. I love toddlers.
He's currently covered in chicken pox. Covered. Gobbledygook pops.
Oh no.
Okay, who's gonna win? Breeze or Dream?
Dream.
Whoa, there you go, wrong time! Right there!
The 100% record.
Right there!
But because I believe differently, I'm gonna say my man Tyler Breeze is gonna beat the Velveteen Dream. because I'm gonna say it.
Here we go. This is it.
Oh, no, not yet. Not yet. It's not that match.
Oh.
Time to say Tyler Breeze wins the North American Championship. He's gonna have an amazing intro. He's gonna have an amazing entrance. So is Velveteen. It's gonna be amazing. And it's match of the year candidate for sure. Stop talking!
Oh no!
Next, Danny Burch and Ollie Larkin versus the Street Profits versus the Forgotten Sons versus Fish and O'Reilly, Red Dragon of the Undisputed Era for the vacated NXT Tag Team Championship. Competing under a ladder match rule.
Oh man, I feel like this is the hardest match to call. Personally.
Well, I shall go first.
Do that, man.
Say Red Dragon pick up the Undisputed Tag Team Championship. And we bring it back home for the Undisputed Era.
Bring it back home for the Undisputed Era. Right, this is one of them ones for me. Backing Street Profits. I like them guys, man, but they can't do the running dance as good as Brock Lesnar, though. So,
no.
Not even close. Forgotten Sons, they are forgotten to me. I never even heard of them, but and now they're forgotten already. That's not a good sign. Because of the storyline surrounding the Undisputed Era, and it seems to be surrounding that right now. Now, F that. Toddlers in the room. Forget that. Street Profits. I'm going for Street Profits. You know what I mean? That's that. That's my team right there, man. That's my team. Street Profits.
Check my head.
Yeah.
AJ. 1, 2, 3, or 4?
4.
4? Oh! He's back in the Undisputed Era.
Oh!
100%.
You're
teaching. 100% streak.
Yo, you're teaching him well, yo. You're teaching him well.
He believes in the Undisputed.
I don't give you props for that.
He's a prophet. And that brings us to where all good stories must end. And it is quite possibly, I'm going to say it, Taker versus Michaels 25 worthy.
Woo!
Going to say it.
Whoa!
I'm going to say it. This match, you could be looking at the greatest match in NXT history right now. And that is the challenger, the leader of the Undisputed Era. He is Adam Cole.
Baby!
Versus the man that has got everything to prove, the champion, Johnny Gargano, Mr. Wrestling, Mr. NXT himself. And I'm going to say, without a shadow of a doubt, Adam Cole, baby, he has to win this match.
Oh, there it is!
It's the one thing he needs to do before he goes up. He needs to prove that he is the best, and he needs to prove that he is as good as he says he is. So we are going to say... Yeah, we are going to say Adam Cole wins the NXT Championship. Gargano or... Listen. Johnny or Adam?
Adam.
Whoa!
Or Adam. There you go. He is saying Johnny Gargano retains. AJ the baby. The boy. AJ the boy. Says Johnny Gargano retains the NXT Championship.
And I will agree with AJ the toddler as well. I think Johnny Gargano retains because it goes back to the story we've been saying, what's been revolving around NXT recently, and that is the rocky relationship with the Undisputed Era. I think this is the one right here where it's all going to go pow. Adam Cole going to lose, and then the Undisputed Era is going to be like, well, look at that. And then all hell got brought loose because Johnny Gargano held down title. Adam Cole ain't winning. Like, he's on course of winning, but for some reason, he doesn't. That's how it goes. Johnny Gargano, you have won this match. You're retaining, homie.
What's that, AJ? Shad's what? Shad's a bitch.
You can't teach him to say that. Don't teach him bad words.
Well, AJ the toddler is going to be staying up to watch NXT because he's all about NXT.
I have the camera.
You want the camera? Yeah. You can't have the camera. Is Dean Ambrose good or bad?
No.
Is he good or bad?
No.
He said no!
No, he's not good. No, he's not good.
Oh no, AJ, the toddler has spoken, people.
He's spoken, he's 100%. Every prediction he's ever made, he has been spot on. So he thinks Red Dragon's going to win the belts.
Wow.
He thinks that Adam Cole is going to lose.
Dad.
What, baby? Okay. Well, that's me done talk. Because I think we're in for a special night. At least 2 matches of the year. At least 1 match of the century. In my opinion, Gargano versus Cole.
Wow! Crazy!
Good.
Crazy!
The Animal Playboy is going to win, I'm telling you. He's going to win.
Wow! How about that, then, people? Yo, NXT TakeOver! I'm looking forward to this, yo. It is on tonight! As far as this show goes out there for you to listen to. You know what I mean? Enjoy the pay-per-view, people, next week. You know what I mean? It's going to be a special show because we're taking it to Super Showdown! You know what I mean? I think that should air on a Thursday. You get me? Whether it's on BDSIR Network or exclusive to Mixcloud, whichever one it will be. Okay? That's how it's going, people!
That's it. It's over. Salute. We out.